We are in the second epistle to the Corinthians, and now we have arrived at the fifth chapter. And my text this morning will be 2 Corinthians, verse 5. Sorry, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 1, I'm trying to say. For we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, if you remember, we are in this part of the scripture now where the Christian is greatly encouraged. He's encouraged by certain things that he knows, and that really at any time in his life or his experience, if he fails to rejoice at what is contained here, then really he needs to examine his own faith and to search his heart and see really where he stands. Because we come now to the great highlights and the great promises that our God has for us. He's talking about, most particularly, our future blessing. Now, if I may just link with the previous message, and we'd like to look at the verses that immediately precede at the end of chapter 4. Obviously, the theme is the same. Look at verse 18 with me. Now, I could ask you the question myself this morning, in which direction are you looking? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And what the apostle is doing here, he's speaking to believers, and obviously this would be a very difficult and a very hard message for those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ and do not know him, or have not this blessed assurance. But to those who know him, this is a great ground of appeal and say, now look, you really should be rejoicing. Whatever persecution or difficulty that they may be going through, he's calling their minds to think now, weigh it all up. Weigh all those things which God gives you, which have eternal weight in them. And then put on the other side all that is temporal and passing, all that is insecure and but for a moment. And then put them in the scales and see how God's blessings far outweigh those things which are temporal. And so the Christian should say, although he lives in this earth, and although he still is in this body, in this frame, yet he knows that his whole attitude is different, because he knows this: we look not at the things which are temporal, but at the things which are eternal. For the things which are seen are temporal, for the things which are not seen are eternal. That being so, the apostle said these words in the verse previous to verse 18. He said, now, if you consider your difficulties, your disappointments, your sorrows, your hardships that you go through in the outward body, yet you're able to put up with it because you know that there is a great future before you. You know that you belong to God. And so, in the light of that, we have verse 17, which we previously looked at. For our light affliction, and it's light now, not now in the sense of treating our sufferings lightly, but light in comparison with the eternal weight of glory. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and the moment now being a moment from the point of view of eternity, and that value, and that dimension. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's the kind of thought he wants us to have in our hearts and our minds here now. You might say, well, I'm going through a hard time. I'm going through a spiritually barren time, maybe. I'm going through a difficult time. I'm going through a time of great sorrow, personally or as a family. Or the church might be going through a time of persecution or unpopularity. Whatever it may be, any of these things. And I say, now look, Will you get your sight right? Lift up your eyes and look on him. Be above your circumstances and consider your Lord. Now, do you remember last week I quoted to you a sentence by John Calvin, and it's worth quoting again. A moment is long if we look at the things around us. That's right, isn't it? A moment is long if we look at the things around us. But once we have raised our minds to heaven, 1,000 years becomes like a moment. So our affliction becomes momentary. Why? Because we are not looking at it. We are looking at God. We are looking at things unseen. We are looking at things which are eternal. And so our light affliction becomes, when we cast our eyes in that direction, momentary. But it will be long if we look at the affliction. But if we look at the things eternal, it becomes momentary. That is really the kind of perspective that he wants us to have in our Christian life. Now we come to a very strange verse. For we know that if... Now the enemies of the gospel, which are found within the nominal church, we're not thinking of the enemies outside the church now, which are indifferent. They are enemies who are indifferent to the church of Jesus Christ. And you think of those now who would study the scriptures and would say all sorts of manner of things about the supernatural and the spiritual. And they would say, ah, see, poor old Apostle Paul, he had to admit to a doubt. He wasn't really very sure. He wasn't altogether certain. And there has crept unconsciously almost into his vocabulary here, an if. For we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, that if is not the if of doubts. You only have to read the epistle right through, or both epistles here to the Corinthians, right through, and hold that if in the context of the teaching that the apostle brings forth, and then you'll see the meaning of that if. What he's saying is this: if I am still here in the second coming, then this is my comfort. Otherwise, if I am alive when the second coming, then the situation is different. So he's talking now to us, maybe, because we don't know. Let us say now that the second coming will not be for 100 years. I don't know. It might be today. But if it shall be for 100 years, then I, with the apostle, say, if our tabernacle shall be dissolved, that is, if we shall die. But if the second coming comes in our lives, then we will not experience death itself. That's the if. And it's the obvious meaning of the if as well. If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, what do we know? We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, the first point is this: the condition of our frame. We've already been introduced to the teaching regarding the Christian, so I just briefly outline it again. Now then, we are in the flesh. In this chapter here, verses 7 and 10 and 11, earthen vessel, mortal body, the flesh. We are in this body. Well, now, what is this body? It's the outward frame that we see, the flesh, the bones, the blood, and all that makes up our human frame. It is our mind, our will, our heart, our emotions, the totality of our being. Everything that we are as human beings. In the unbeliever, that is motivated and governed by not only a principle, but that is a creature that has a principle of unrighteousness, the innermost being, the inward man. So we have the inward man, the outward man, the spirit of man, and the flesh. Now we're talking about inward and outer here. So the inward man is our innermost being. The outward man is the flesh. And the flesh will be the flesh whilst we are on this earth. We'll always have a struggle with it. When we are converted, when we believe in Jesus Christ, when our sins are forgiven, then a miracle takes place. This inward man puts off the principle of unrighteousness and puts on
the principle and the spirit of righteousness. So the inward man only and always and ever will delight in the things of God. But the inward man still has to live in the outward form. That's the picture. And so, an unbeliever can say like this, for all your boasting, you get old, you go sick, die. Like all of us, yes, our outward man will perish. That will be so. But our inward man is renewed day by day as we feed on Christ and as we dwell upon the things of God. Now then, it's only you who can answer for yourself, and I can only answer for myself. How is your new creature in Christ getting on? Is he being starved of the things of the grace of God? The inner man who loves God and who endeavors by the grace of God to subdue and mortify the flesh, the outward man, longs for fellowship, delights to hear the word of God, will pray with the corporate body of Christ, cannot be kept away from the fellowship of Christians, will never say that he prefers the company of unbelievers to that of believers, because his delight is in the things of God. If we are anything other than that, then examine yourselves whether you truly are in the faith. The inward man is renewed day by day. Now, the outward man perishes. For we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved. Now, let's settle now. What is this earthly house? It is not wrong to refer to heaven when you talk of this first verse. But it is not a direct reference to heaven. Now, you'll see that as I expound this to you now. Our earthly house, or our tabernacle, the words I use, our earthly house, our tabernacle. What is that? Well, in that part of the verse, it means my outward body, my outward man, my body, my emotions, my will, my being, the totality of a human being. My house, my tabernacle. Where dwells my innermost being? Where dwells the righteous new creature in Christ? Who is, I trust, being renewed day by day by the grace of God? Now, this earthly house, this tabernacle, other than the second coming, that's why the if is there, will be dissolved. That is, every one of us in this church, every person in Cardiff, or Wales or Britain, if the Lord tarries for, say, a century, then this tabernacle of ours will die. But if the Lord comes, we will not experience death. That's why the if is there. But we are living now, in a sense, the Lord has not come as yet, so we had to be prepared to die. What is our attitude then to death? Are we petrified at the thought of death? What is our attitude? Now, there are many parallels that can be taken here. One is from the history of Israel. If you remember, there is a biblical background of the story of Israel. The tabernacle where they worship belonged to the wilderness worship and the wanderings of the people of God. But when they settled in the promised land on Mount Zion, we then know of the temple of God. So there are two stages, if you like, in the worship of the children of Israel, when they wandered in the wilderness, and then when they finally were settled, they no longer have a tabernacle, which is a temporary tent after all, but they have a temple which is permanent. There's one comparison. Another is this, taken from the life of Abraham and from the epistle to the Hebrews and the 11th chapter. I'll read you the verse. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The same kind of parallel there, where Abram is saying, like the others, like all those after me too, I wander in a tabernacle, I am in a temporary abode. Whilst a Christian is in this life, he is a sojourner, he is a pilgrim, he is in a temporary abode. My outward man, which will perish day by day. We can see that going on in our experience, and we look upon ourselves. Our outward man perishes day by day. This takes place. Now then, even though that takes place, which is our temporary abode, we have a building of God. Now, what is this building of God? The promise of what we have one day. Now, let me take the example of our Savior. If you look at John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, Jesus Christ came to this world. What did he do? He took on the form of a servant. Now, if you want a more careful translation, and the Word was made flesh and pitched his tent amongst us. That is, he took on a temporary body. That is, our frailty, the outward man. He pitched his tent amongst us. Now then, where do we stand? If we are believers now this morning, the inward man has discarded unrighteousness and has put on righteousness. The inward man, day by day, is renewed and is fashioned after Christ, yet lives in the outward man. If the Lord tarries, the outward man will die, for it is appointed for man once to die. We know that, and we must get used to that idea. So, if the second coming doesn't happen in our experience, in our lifetime, we must be prepared for our death. And we must have a right attitude of heart and mind toward our death. If you remember, the same reformer that I quoted a few months ago said, the most pathetic thing that can ever be looked upon by a Christian is to see the worldly man. It is a melancholy spectacle to see how the unconverted man clings to his outward man, because his inner man is dressed in unrighteousness. He clings to youth. He clings to life. Clinging to youth is merely a symptom of clinging to what you've got and clinging to life. We'll cling to clothes. We'll cling to materials, because it is all he can ever hope to have. But I think there's a worse spectacle, with all due respect to that great reformer. That is the saddest one. But I think this is worse. When a Christian, whose inner man is fashioned after Christ, still will place himself with the unconverted and hanker after the things of the flesh. I think that is a pathetic spectacle. That's right, isn't it? Now, what do we know? The second thing, the consideration of our future. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that is, if we die, what have we got? We have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, are we talking of heaven? No, not directly. If my earthly house of this tabernacle is my body, there is no reason for the apostle to change the figure there. He is still referring to us and not to a place. What he's saying. What is this building of God? It is a strong contrast to the body that is dissolved. The temple is a strong contrast to the temporary tabernacle. Now, what is he saying? Now, let us be helped by Scripture. In Mark 14, verse 58, we have the Lord Jesus Christ saying a very strange thing which the Jews did not understand, because they were thinking of the temple that was made by hands. I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Shocked. A temple of God. This is blasphemy. He's going to take down our church. He's going to destroy our building where the presence of God is. This is blasphemy. And what conceit. He's going to build it up again in 3 days. They didn't understand what he's talking about. Do you? Was it a miracle that didn't come off? In John chapter 2 and verse 21, we are told, but he spake of the temple of his body. That's what he's talking about. He is saying, this temple will be destroyed, yet in 3 days it will be new. Now then, what are we talking about here? Look at Philippians 3 verse 21, a very important verse in this teaching. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the outworking whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. What is he saying? He's talking about a great power of God. Now then, we are now talking of the fullness and the consummation and the completeness of our salvation. Now thus far, whilst you are in this church this morning and I am here with you in this pulpit, what is true thus far in our experience? My inward man is a new creature in Christ. In your heart, you can say amen to that if you're a believer. And you have put off unrighteousness and you have put on righteousness. Day by day, you are renewed by the grace of God. But your outward man perishes. Has the gospel nothing to say to the outward man? Yes, it has. Now let's look at it again. Now then, if I die, before the Lord comes, if I die, what happens to me? To be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. My disembodied spirit, if you like, the new creature in Christ, my innermost being, my inward man, will be with God in glory. But my outward man will be in the grave. Now then, has salvation nothing to say to the outward man? Is the power of sin on earth going to be victorious on part, although it has failed in as far as my immortal soul is concerned? No, our salvation includes the body. Our salvation is a complete thing. Now then, this is our prospect. That one day we shall have a new body. Let me read a verse that I read at the beginning. For this corruptible, we're speaking now of the outward man. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So the Bible has got something to say regarding this earthen vessel, regarding this frail frame, regarding this body. You see, we can emphasize, and rightly so, that our immortal souls are secure, our innermost being, the new man in Christ, is with God. But what about that pathetic remains that are in the grave? It must put on incorruption. It must put on immortality. So the saying shall be that death is swallowed up in victory. And finally, we shall be able to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But why? Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Now then, to close, and the last point is this. We groan. Now, why are we groaning? Well, look at the verses. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. We want that new body, and that we shall be like him. If so being, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Well, what is he talking about? Well, he knows what he's talking about clearly. Let me put it in this context. Our salvation has a cosmic reality as well. And see how great it is. I'll give you a glimpse of this. The ultimate setting of the saved person is in this. In 2 Peter 3 verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That is the cosmic plan of it all. There is a plan for my innermost being, the inner man. There is a plan for my outward form. There is a plan for my divine setting. There will be a great newness. There will be a great righteousness. That is the setting of the gems and the saved ones of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But meanwhile, we groan. Well, why am I groaning? For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Now, there is a kind of ambiguity here, which I think is deliberate. Partly, we are groaning because we are limited by the flesh. There is still a conflict, the desires of the flesh, that warreth against the Spirit. And the new man in Christ, and the Spirit of righteousness, endeavouring to mortify the flesh. And that will always be so in this life. And there is a groaning in the flesh. I am still in the limitations of this sinful flesh, this outward man. There's that groaning. There is another groaning here by implication. I groan because I long to be like him. Take either, take both, because they are there by implication. So I groan, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Chapter 1 verse 22 says, he who has a first fruit of the Spirit yearns for the harvest. Now then, if so be, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, here's a picture. If the Lord tarries, there's the if, I die in God's time. And so, my innermost being, my immortal soul, the new creature in Christ, is with God. And then this outward tabernacle, this outward body, dissolves and is corruptible because it is mortal. And then we are told, now what happens now? At the second coming of Jesus Christ, this is when the wonderful things take place. One, if we are alive when he comes, we shall absorb the new body. We shall be changed. If we have died before he comes, then our disembodied spirits, which are naked in the sense that they have no bodies, will be given their new bodies. But this is a wonderful thing. He shall bless us all who are in Christ, whether we have died before the second coming or after the second coming. So the timing is this, you see. The consummation of our faith is this. That at that time, then those who are living on the earth, it's a miracle that takes place. There they are in the mortal body, in the earthen vessel, in the outward form. And the miracle that takes place is as if they absorb the new one. They're transformed. They haven't got to drop the old body. A miracle takes place as they are there. They are transformed. And those who come with him, the great host who are his, they shall be clothed upon with these new bodies. And we shall all be like him at the second coming. That's why the apostle says in that earlier epistle, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Then a group of unbelievers will say, ah, look, you're going to be buried like everybody else. And we can look to heaven and smile and say, O death, where is thy victory? Why? For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. There will be a time when our salvation is complete in the fullest sense. Our salvation is not only for the inward man, but ultimately for the body as well. But a body without sin, a body like unto his, with an ability and a dimension and a quality far above the body that we have now. Yet our identity will be there. You will still be you, and I will still be me. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to enjoy heaven. And that is why he is able to say, thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is our inheritance, and that is our joy. Do you know that? If you know it, then our light affliction, which is but for a moment, you weigh that, and you turn your eyes, you turn away from things which are seen, and look to those things which are not seen, from the things that belong to the earth, and which are temporary, and the things which belong to heaven, and which are eternal. And know that one day, in his day, we shall be clothed upon with a new body, and our immortal souls, our righteous being in Christ, shall be clothed upon with a body worthy of heaven, and we shall be like Jesus. Let us pray. O Lord, we come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and ask thee to help us and to grant us grace that we might know these things for thy name's sake.